Amen. Danke, Herr, dass du uns alle berufen hast.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Könige,
you called all of us to be kings and priests.
Wir sind hier, um noch mehr von dir.
We are here
to know
and learn more of this wonderful service, to be one, fully one with you, the great high priest. Use this entire fellowship weekend to equip us, to prepare us. Lord, your return is close. We lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Our salvation is closer now than we first believed. Thank the Lord for all the saints. It is so good to be in the fellowship of the saints. There is no better place to be this morning. I'm not interested in being somewhere else than in the land of the living. It is so easy to be living, to be alive here. You open your mouth and the Spirit immediately flows into you. We should all enjoy that this morning. To open our hearts and mouth for the Lord, that we all will be filled. Oh, where's the picture? It is gone. Here you have a lot of burning lamps, 7 lamps that are burning. A vessel that wants to be filled with the golden oil and then being burned, being kindled by the high priest, and then to shine for each one of us. This age where the Lord returns soon is the age of darkness. It is said the Lord comes at midnight. At midnight you won't see anything at all. The only thing which gives light is a lamp. And we are in this age. Everything is upside down. There's nothing is left that is straight. All is crooked. The most crooked things became normal, and the normal things are perverted in the eyes of man. It's really an age of darkness. People are so far from God. Many don't even believe there's a God anymore. They live in this creation. God feeds them every day and they don't even believe that He exists. This is really darkness. And it is also, it's really a battle. What do you expect for the Lord's return to approach more and more? What do you think how things will be? It's not much time left. What do you think? Do you think we have a lot of years left? Or better to say months? The time is here. The time is there. We should really have eyes to see. The time is near. There's not much time left for all of us. We all have the same amount of time. No matter how old or young you are, we have the same amount of time left. And it is few. There's not much time left. All that happens in this world, things no one could have thought of. All the things that happen in Iran, do you think people expected it? They thought, now it's their time. And what came? The fulfillment of the Word of God. It came to pass. People think, oh, there are some nations that are in conflicts. No, it is God's acting. That these things are happening, which are happening now, is the work of God. It is not man's work. You really need to realize it. Otherwise, you will only read the news as everybody reads it. No, it's the hand of God. How could one man be used to make peace there, to appease this whole region? The Middle East is known for conflicts. When you think about the Middle East, everybody who knows a little bit will think of war, violence, and bad situation. And where does this region go now in these days? It will enter a time, an age of peace and stability, security. The most hostile nation is now on the bottom. Everything they did inside and outside their country and paid and organized, and they brought a lot of terror there in this region. Now, suddenly, you saw this nation be thrown to the earth, put down. We should be reminded of 1 Thessalonians and be woken up. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 2 first. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It's night now. Like a thief in the night. That means people do not expect it at all. It is really so. Even the unbelievers, but also many believers don't expect things to happen. For when they say peace and safety, this is the word which is the main word in the Middle East now. Peace and safety. This is the great word, the wording which is used now. Oh, see the opportunity. This main, so to say, terrorist, this aggressive nation, that all have this prospect before their eyes, peace and safety. The first time for decades, even centuries, for when they say, and this is related to the Middle East, God's word in the political meaning, it's not about all the nations of the world, but it's about Israel and the surrounding nations. Daniel 2 doesn't describe all the nations of the world, but it is describing what happens in the Middle East. This is Daniel 2 about. When it's about political things, we especially have to look at this region. For when they say, especially in that region, peace and safety, what happens then? Sudden distraction comes upon them. This will come now. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Oh, Jesus, we have to see. You don't know when the Lord comes. Many people say, you don't know. What did the Lord say? Did the Lord say, you know nothing when I come? You can know nothing about when I come. There's no such a verse. The Lord only said, you neither know day or hour. If there's a pregnancy, you know nothing when the baby comes? No clue at all? In the beginning of January, we really knew our baby will come soon. You can't say, oh, I don't know at all. It can come in 3 years. This is nonsense. But one thing you don't know is day and hour. Even today, when calculating and correcting, in the end, no one knows day or hour. But it doesn't mean you know nothing. We really need to see the age, the time where we live in. We are in the ninth month, so to say. We arrived at the end of the ages. We shouldn't have any hope in this world at all and be ensnared in this world. This is to be paid very expensively if you are ensnared in this world. Do you want to meet the beast? Do you want to see all these armies of demons? Do you want to see all judgment, death and fire? And then do you want to be for 1,000 years in outer darkness? Is it worth it to be to invest in this world? It is a time where we should leave everything and gain Christ. It is really not worthy at all to do anything else. It was never worthy, but now it's the worst time. Therefore, he says in verse 4, but you brethren are not in darkness. Amen. Oh Lord, you really need to come to the Lord. Lord, show me how close you are. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. How close you are now. It's not useful to just hear it. The Lord needs to show it himself to us. Then you are woken up. That this day should overtake you as a thief. This is not the Lord. In verse 2 it says, the Lord comes as a thief in the night. But in verse 4 it's the judgment which comes as a thief. You are trapped. You are caught by judgment. We should be awake and not sleep as the others. Lord Jesus. And that's why the fellowship in this weekend, it's quite simple. There's only one burden. The golden incense altar. This is the burden. The golden incense altar. And I'm sure each one who is serving at the golden incense altar is someone who watches and prays. What did the Lord say in the Gospels? Again and again, watch and pray. Watch and pray. How can you watch? You need prayer. Not just a general prayer, but a prayer for God's purpose and plan. Such a prayer keeps us watching. Then we will not be stuck in this age. Lord Jesus, wake us up. Wake us up. Strengthen all of us to watch and to pray. That your kingdom may come. Oh Lord Jesus. Amen. It is such a battle. It's not just a battle to pray. It's a battle to pray at all. Many times we think, yeah, we are battling in the prayer, but many times experience is you have to fight that to make it to prayer at all. Let us see Tuesday evening, Tuesday night to come to the prayer meeting. Suddenly you are so tired and you are so busy and at home. Shortly before 8, a lot of trouble arises on Tuesday. Because it's not just a fight in prayer, but it's also a fight to pray at all. We need to see that. Otherwise, we are discouraged so fast. Oh, it doesn't work. I let go of it. No, it's a battle to pray at all. That's why it's good to pray also. Make us free to pray. Our hearts, our thoughts, our spirit, that it's free to pray, that it's strengthened to intercede for your purpose. It is easy to fight the battle. No one does martial arts here. But you saw it one day. When there is a fight, one round is for 1 hour. No, one battle is only 2 to 3 minutes. I have a colleague who trained that. If you cannot train for 2 hours, only train 2 hours, to push-ups and all these things, then you won't stand in the first four rounds, which lasts 3 minutes. You need such a training to just stand for some minutes. What do you think? Do you need strength in a spiritual battle, or is it easy at all? When it's about prayer for the purpose of God, do you need strength, or is it easy going all the time? We really need strength for the spiritual battle. Sometimes we are not aware of it, and we just live. And then it comes to prayer, and then, oh, we are stuck. Oh, we lack words. We lack clarity. And we are not inside the prayer, and we don't hit the goal. Why is it? Because prayer is a spiritual battle which needs strength. We cannot do that and grow without being fed and nourished properly. Let's see the picture again. It is so wonderful that in this holiest place, it's not just the incense altar. It's not only the incense altar there. But you see there's everything else we need to serve at the incense altar. We really need the nourishment, the support to fight the spiritual battle. We all need that. We need the supply. We don't just lead life and light to be happy and free inside and do anything else. We need light, the Spirit of the Lord, and bread of life through the Word, that we can then fight by the Spirit and the incense altar. In no meeting you see how much light or life we have in the prayer meeting. Or when you want to pray at home on your knees for the purpose of God, there you need how much light and life you have in that moment. And this shall not discourage us, but it shall show to us to be equipped to be such, to be filled and strengthened to pray without ceasing. Did you not ask yourselves, how is that possible? Pray without ceasing. This verse, all the times, you enjoy it, but it gives you trouble too. Because our own experience is limited so much. But it is written, pray without ceasing. How can Paul say that? Ephesians 6, he also says it. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful through this end with all perseverance. Is this easy, Noel, to be watchful all the time? Why is it so difficult for us many times to pray in the Spirit all the time? Is it just a nice verse from Paul, and Paul gave us a mission impossible? Paul was a brother who lived in that holy place. Please leave that picture there. Please leave it there. You can see. You can see the breads in the right dimension, hopefully. These are great breads. Each bread weighs some kilograms. maybe 10 kilograms. So this table needs to be stable. It carries a lot of kilogram of bread. It's a whole bakery there. When you go to the bakery, you have a lot of bread. And those are much greater. The Lord doesn't only call us to pray, but He calls us into the holy place that we will learn to constantly be fed there. It's only possible to pray in the Spirit all the time when we also eat from that bread all the time. I don't believe it is possible to pray without ceasing if you do not in the same time do eat this bread all the time. This bread is not limited. This supply is not limited. It is 12 breads. You can eat as much as you can. It's all you can eat. Really, it's all you need. If you are young and you do a lot of sports, I'm sure your boys do eat a lot.
Oh.
But when Thomas comes, you need some food at the table. Yes. When we really are really in the spiritual battle, we need a lot of bread of life. You cannot just have a morning watch and then pray without ceasing all the day. It's not sufficient. And there's a story in 1 Samuel 14. The people of Israel were at battle with the Philistines, and the Lord saved them because of Jonathan and his helper. They were brave, and the Lord gave a wonderful victory. 1 Samuel 14, 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Aven. And all were in battle. And then men of Israel were distressed that day. Imagine, you fought the battle the entire day with the sword. For Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, "Cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies." How stupid. So none of the people tasted food. None. And then, now all the people of the land came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground.
Wow.
God prepared the fullness. He has prepared the fullness. He had prepared the fullness, but none in the people ate. How is it with us? Did not the Lord give the word to all of us? Does anyone don't have a Bible? I can give you a present. All of us have 5 Bibles or even more at home. Our whole cupboard is full. Our shelves are full of Bibles. The Lord filled the entire land with food. We have so much wonderful food. And what are we doing? But none put his hand to his mouth. 26, and when the people had come into the woods, there was the honey dripping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. What a horrible lie. We should not be held back by anything at all to come to the Word of God. The Word is not written to condemn us. It is written to give us life. This week, when we had so much fellowship on the showbreads, I told the Lord, Lord, from the morning to the evening, I only feed upon your word. Every break I have, every opportunity there is, I will just take up your word. I even bought a little Bible, a small Bible for it, that I will have the word wherever I go. And these days were so wonderful, such a difference. Then there was a much different strength in our spirit. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore he stretched out the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his countenance brightened. Hallelujah. Is it so difficult to get life in the Word of God? Johannes, is it difficult? Look, we just ate these few verses. Weren't you strengthened? Some minutes. Oh, we already stretched out the rod and dipped it in a honeycomb and put some into our mouth, and his countenance brightened. Then one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, curse is the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. What is lacking when we are faint? It's not that complicated. We shouldn't look for it for solution. For days, we should only drip the rod into the honeycomb. This rod stands for the faith when coming to the Word. We don't come to analyze. We do not come to have any interpretation. We read it to use our faith. This morning, when we ate the Word together, you need to take your rod, take your faith, and dip it into that honeycomb, and then put it to the mouth, and open the mouth. We are so many people here. You are not restricted in open your mouth. Even the sisters are allowed to pray. There are so many forbidding the sisters to open their mouth in the meeting. That's nonsense. And then you don't need a head covering when you are not when you're not allowed to open the mouth. You don't need a head covering at all. Let us all open the mouth. He took the rod in his hand, dipped it into the honeycomb, and put it to his mouth. Then his countenance brightened. 29, but Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land, O Lord. When there's a lack of food in the spiritual battle, then there is trouble in the land. There's no joy in the Lord. There's no joy in the kingdom of the Lord. Then the Lord will trouble all your land, all your surrounding. Believe me, we are in the battle. If we are not strengthened and fed for the spiritual battle, our entire life will be troubled, will be upside down. We are in this battle. We are all kings and priests. But let us eat this rich word. And Jonathan encouraged us. Look now how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found now, for now would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? The measure of how much we eat of the Lord and His living Word, it will really make how we enjoy and win the spiritual battle. This is linked together. We take really out of the fullness. Had eaten freely. If you faint this morning or on Monday you feel like fainting. Last week I felt like fainting. then come to the Lord and to the Word. Dip your rod into the honeycomb. And then the slaughter among the enemies will be great. This whole picture, when it's engraved into our hearts this weekend, then the Lord will hopefully be able to go on anew with us. We don't have to do something with out of our own strength. Our strength is not sufficient, no matter young or old, man or woman. When it's about the spiritual battle, our strength will not bring us through. But praise the Lord, there's a rich food. And then the slaughter among the Philistines will be even greater. And then there's a danger. When this, another danger, when we lack this food, what happens in verse 32? And the people rushed on the spoil and took sheep, oxen, and calves and slaughtered them on the ground. And the people ate them with the blood. There's a danger if we are inwardly fainting and weakened, and then in the end the flesh comes. This is another danger. It's really so. The flesh comes up, the lust of this world, and then you eat, and then you sin in the Lord. This is all about the food. There's no buffet like in the hotel. In God's menu, it's really simple. It's one bread, it's the show bread. It's only one food. There's not a great difficulty to choose what to eat. There's only one food. This wonderful show bread, it's the Lord Himself. And when we eat of that, we will make new experiences in the spiritual battle. It is such a joy to stand in the spiritual battle. Then you pray, then you read, and then you speak, and speak the word of God, and then there's another task to do. But it only goes on when we richly feed on this 12th bread. Without these breads, it does not work. In Psalms 141, it's also about the incense altar. Verse 2, let my prayer be set before you as incense, a well-pleasing aroma, not just a begging and mourning. It's a prayer of faith, a prayer in the Lord's victory, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Psalms 141, verse 2, how can you have strength in the evening to continue fighting the battle? It is these 12 breads. The day has 12 hours, and then there are 12 breads. You can eat every hour. You can eat the Lord. But then you are able to go on strengthened. But this food is really exclusive. But there is a warning. It is exclusive. There's a warning. Do not incline my heart, in verse 4, to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacy. This is a great danger. The Lord knows of the power which is in this holy place. The Lord, the enemy knows this. When God's people is one and strengthened with the purpose of God, is there any battle the people of Israel lost when they were one with God? No matter how many they were. Two people against an army, they won because God was with them, with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. There was no one, and they even won. Why? Because the Lord fought for them. It is only about the state of the people, and the enemy knows of it. That's why he offers his delicacies, the great delicacies. If you have some chocolate, you have the small chocolates, Are they that great? They're only small. But it destroys your appetite. Why do you tell children to not eat the sweets before the food? Because it spoils them for the real food. If you eat the word in the morning and 1 hour later you eat a small delicacy, only 5 minutes of delicacies, but we give in to a lust. A delicacy doesn't mean you are not allowed to know what happens in this world, but it's about lust of knowledge or to give in to any lust. Immediately your power is gone. Wonderful showbread is put to zero. Because that's why it's written in the psalm about incense. There's a prayer, do not let me eat of their delicacy. This is the core here. If we separate for this food, our prayer life will totally change. We will find strength in the Lord the entire day. It is so wonderful to eat of His food. Let us therefore not eat of their delicacies. This prayer, it is really linked here. Praise the Lord. And this food, I want to shortly add, it's a holy food. It's not just a strengthening food, it's also a holy food. Because this incense, that for this incense to be an enjoyment for God, not just mourning or begging or just praying without the heart, but really a prayer out of our heart, a prayer that touches God. For this prayer, it needs to be a prayer of a righteous. Proverbs 15. 15:29, a wonderful verse. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous. He hears the prayer of the righteous. This incense is described as pure, holy, and salted. That means this sanctification and purification is really important for the service at the incense altar. And also for this we have the showbread. What about our thoughts? How are your thoughts doing? Your thoughts are fast and they are also defiled very fast. And what shall we do? Put them off, turn off, switch them off. Even if you sleep, you cannot switch off your thoughts, but we can renew. Let our mind be renewed by the wonderful word of the Lord. My experience is when we let this world dwell richly in us, it sanctifies and cleanses us, and we can live in righteousness. Because it is not our own righteousness, it is the righteousness of the Lord. Why is that so important? Because the Lord hears the prayer of the righteous. It is so important to let this word dwell in us richly. One more question for the young people. Do you know a verse? I know a question to you. How shall a young man go his way righteous? Was that question my idea, or is it from the Bible? It comes from the Bible.
Wow, sehr gut.
When he preserves himself with his word, it's important. Psalm 119. That all young people, verse 9, all the young people below 23. All young people up to the age of 23. Read together Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Read it again. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Amen. Praise the Lord for pure young people. Such an important army. And this army needs to be pure and holy. And where do you take your power to be pure and holy in this world? You could be the strongest man in your will that has ever been born. You will not make it out of your own. Even Paul did not make it. He was such a strong person. It's only through the Lord. How does this word say? By taking heed according to your word. When you bring your thoughts under the authority of the Lord, eat the word of the Lord and let the delicacies of the world, let them go. Cast them out. Only like this our thoughts and hearts will be under the authority of the Lord. And then our prayer will be a prayer of a righteous one. This is really strong. To have such a prayer. One more verse. Psalm 66, verse 18. Another important verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We cannot hide hidden lusts, sins, fleshly things in our hearts and expect the Lord to hear our prayer on the golden incense altar. This does not work. Then the Lord will not hear us. But praise the Lord, we have a pure word, holy word. These showbreads, the difference to the manna is that they are unleavened, salted, holy and pure. And they sanctify those who only feed on the showbreads. We should have a spiritual diet and change it to be strengthened for serving at the incense altar. It is actually simple, but it is an exercise and really effective to be strengthened by the Lord, like Ephesians 6 says. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. 1 Samuel 21, if you have time, read it. When David ate from the showbread, what did he ask for the next moment? He asked for a sword. He received the holy bread because he was... He was fleeing, and the next thing he requested was the sword of Goliath. Let us have this order and ask of the Lord, give me holy bread, and then he will give us this wonderful sword. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this bread you give us. Thank you. Inside your house, there's plenty of food. We want to eat of these breads to be strengthened, to pray for your plan. Cleanse us through your word. Thank you. We want to take in your word. Lord, we really want to redeem all the time, to come to you all the time, to eat of you and to be strengthened. We want to have this hunger for you and not turn our eyes to the delicacies of this world, but to appreciate you and your food and only eat of you. Make us all to be fighters to holy priests that offer up incense at the golden incense altar. Strengthen your entire priesthood to feed upon you. To feed on you. I wanted to shortly add, what is the best place to be in this entire universe? In this entire universe, best place to be? The soccer field, the stadium, the basketball. What is the best place to be? What does our heart say? Where is the best place to be? I hope we all can say out of our hearts, the bottom of our heart, here, the incense altar is the best place to be. Formerly, for the high priest, it might have been a bit sad. You were just standing and looking at that whale, a bit depressing. But this morning we heard, this veil is torn, so wonderful. But where do we stand now? Today, behind that, there is the ark. It is the throne of God directly. It is the throne of God, ruling over this whole universe. This incense altar, it is the connection inside to the throne of God. It is what connects it to the inside. Many people want to come to the presence of God. But what's the way? We see the entire way here in the tabernacle. How we can enter into the true fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. And there's a wonderful verse. 1 Kings 6, 22. It is about the altar. Solomon, the whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary. This incense altar, it belongs to the place where God speaks. The sanctuaries in German is also sometimes called the speaking place. We shall come forward to the speaking place of God. I realized it also needs this lampstand. We need a lot of light. We heard a lot about the showbread table. We really need light. Otherwise, we are in darkness. When I started working, I got to know a lot of Christians at work. Many times we heard a word together and then prayed together. The word actually was really encouraging and I got refreshed by the word. I could say it was good breads, but when we prayed then, I thought, what do we pray for? The son of a colleague hurt his toe, and we prayed for the company to be successful. Okay, we can pray for all of that. But where's light from the lampstand? Where's the light for the purpose of God? Where is the burden to pray for the purpose of God? And the Lord reminded me of Matthew chapter 6. We all know this word where the Lord teaches us how to pray. We know it by heart. He teaches us pray. Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And then there's our daily bread. But on the first place, there is God's kingdom, God's purpose here on this earth. And all our worries we can have as men. And the entire chapter he speaks about the worries, about what does he say? Do not worry at all. The Father knows what you need. He knows that your toe is hurt. It is important for the Father that we consecrate ourselves for his kingdom, and he will give everything else we need. When we come forward here, we can be assured the Lord will care for us. He will take care for us. On how I pray, I realize how my spiritual condition is. Sometimes I'm in trouble at work. Help me at work, and I pray, let me do a good work. It's not wrong to have that prayer, but sometimes I lack vision. Why don't I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come at work? Why don't I pray more like this? Let your kingdom come at work. And then I'm 100% assured the Lord will help me and will be with me. And I realize I have to change my priorities. The Lord knows my troubles. I realize I need light about the true troubles, the true need. It's the true troubles that I don't make my work so well, or is it that the people are not safe that are around me? And that's why I'm encouraged. You know the prayers Paul prayed in the beginning of his letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. And when you read these prayers that Paul spoke, they all start with one thing. I'll show you one example, Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, 16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I realized I need this light. I need this spirit of wisdom and revelation who gives revelation to me about what God wants to do. Otherwise, I am in darkness. Then the one Christian prays into this direction, the other Christian prays into the other direction. Sometimes I thought, when praying with these brothers there, and they prayed for the politics in this world, I think I have the impression the Lord wants to do something different in the world politics. I realized we really need light from above, from the Lord. This is really good to have this prayer, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 in the beginning, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He had this conscience. We don't just need any kind of a light, but a light that enlightens our hearts. It's good. These items, they all belong together. And we also had fellowship in the Bible meeting. There are two portions in Revelation in the New Testament which speak about incense. It's Revelation 5. It is where Jesus ascended before the throne of God. Finally, there's a man at the throne of God. Finally, there was a man who was worthy, who came to come to the throne of God and rule. And what happens in verse 8? It is about the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, when Christ, he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. These angels there before the throne, they had bowls filled with incense. These are the prayers of the saints. Where do they come from? They have to come somewhere. When have these bowls been filled? This shows there were saints that prayed for Christ to rule. Otherwise, there were no filled bowls. That shows for God's purpose to happen on this earth, it needs prayer. Without prayer, nothing proceeds at all. In the spring conference, we heard at the time of the judges, almost nothing happened in God's purpose. But actually, what was nothing, nothing proceeded in the purpose of God. God did nothing, he just observed. He did not force them. Now you have to build a house for me. He just waited until there finally came one man who was asking for the will of God, until David came. This showed to me, when I want something to happen, it's really linked to the altar of incense. Here are bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And this was for the first coming of the Lord in Revelation chapter 5. And in chapter 8, it's about the second coming. Revelation chapter 8, the second coming of the Lord. When will the Lord come back and bring his judgment on this earth and his kingdom? When these bowls are filled up again. Revelation chapter 8 shows this. These are very good verses. Let us read them together. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Amen. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. This was such a prayer for God's purpose, for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. When we see the news, read the world, do we start to pray? And when we pray, it shall be such a prayer that ascends before God, that reaches before the throne of God. And after that prayer, the judgment starts. The four trumpets start after this prayer. The judgment of God comes. That shows it needs the prayer from our side. God waits for people, for man to pray like this. He needs people who cooperate with him for his plan, and he wants to fulfill his plan now. And he is looking for people, for man, that cooperate with him in these prayers. It's so good to redeem the time and have fellowship about it today. It's so good for the Lord to be able to come back soon. Lord Jesus. Let's have a short break. And then we continue in 10 minutes. Praise the Lord.